कृष्णा नमः प्रणाम गुरुपाद गुरुदेव अद्वैत चंद्रदास्य
हरे कृष्णा अद्वैत चंद्र प्रभु प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबीसेंसेस ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड गुरु महाराज थैंक यू फॉर योर एसोसिएशन प्रभुजी टुडेज क्लास इज गिवन बाय हिज ग्रेस अद्वैत चंद्र प्रभुजी द ग्लोरीज ऑफ गौरीदास पंडित प्रभुजी प्लीज टेक ओवर दिस कॉल
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा टुडे वी विल बी डिस्कसिंग द ग्लोरीज ऑफ श्री गौरीदास पंडित हु इज द फॉरमोस्ट एसोसिएट एंड फॉलोअर ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य एंड लॉर्ड नित्यानंद He is very famous for his self-manifested deity that Gauridas Pandit has. And we'll discuss about that today. Om Akyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, Tasya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sat Prema Mara Shakhina Urdhvaskandha Vadhutendo Shakharupan Gananuma Shri Nityananda Prabhu is the topmost branch of the indestructible tree of eternal love of Godhead, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the sub-branches of that topmost branch. Gauridas Pandit is actually one of the most important sub-branches of the Nityananda branch of the Chaitanya tree of Bhakti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that there is a Chaitanya tree where Lord Chaitanya is the root and the trunk of that tree. And the branches of the tree are growing far and wide, and there are branches and sub-branches and sub-sub-branches. And it explains how different devotees of Lord Chaitanya are in different branches. And Gauridas Pandit is actually a particular sub-branch of Nityananda Prabhu, because he is one of the associates of Lord Nityananda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has written, Gauridas Pandit Jara Premodana Bhakti Krishna Preme Dite Nite Dhare Mahashakti Nityananda Samarpila Jati Kula Panti Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Kari Pranapati. Gauridas Pandit, the emblem of the most elevated devotional service in love of Godhead, had the greatest potency to receive and deliver such love. Making Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the lords of his life, Gauridas Pandit sacrificed everything for the service of Lord Nityananda, even the fellowship of his family. Gauridas Pandit is very famous for his Gaur Nityananda deities, which are Swayambhu. In fact, in the time of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, there were four deities which were self-manifested during Lord Chaitanya's presence. Now we worship Lord Chaitanya's deities, Gaur Nitya deities, but they are not manifest in their pastime right now on this in this material world. Although they are present in the unmanifested state, and they are present eternally as the deities, but when they were manifested here in our eyes, in our presence, there were only four deities. One was Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu by Vishnu Priya. When Lord Chaitanya left, he gave this deity to her to worship in Champahati. There is the deity of Gaur Gadadhar, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit, which was given to his brother, Gadadhar Pandit's brother, Dvijabaninath. Then there was the Chitta Vigraha of Srila Sanatan Goswami. And ultimately, Gaur and Nityananda, self-manifested deities of Gauridas Pandit in Ambika Kalna, they are still present. And they were present at the time of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In fact, they were presented to Gauridas Pandit by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda himself. Such was the glory of Gauridas Pandit. And we'll see how these Gaur Nityananda deities became manifested. Sri Gauridas Pandit's father's name was Sri Kamsari Mishra, and his mother's name was Sri Kamala Devi. He had five brothers: Gauridas Pandit, Damodar Pandit, Jagannath Pandit, Suryadas Pandit, Krishnadas Pandit, and Narsingha Chaitanya Pandit. In fact, Gauridas Pandit is considered to be one of the important cowherd boyfriends of Krishna, one of the Dwadash Gopals, one of the 12 important cowherd boyfriends. His name was Subal Sakha, Subal. Gauridas Pandit was Subal Sakha. But in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, he appeared as Gauridas Pandit in the Burdwan district. If we go from Kolkata to Mayapur to Navadvip, there is a main junction station which is called Burdwan. In that district lies the town of Ambika Kalna. It's not very far from Shantipur. the place of Advaita Acharya. That's where Gauridas Pandit used to live. At present, if we go to Ambika Kalna in the house of Sri Gauridas Pandit, there is a temple where the deities of Gaur Nityananda are installed. In that temple, there is a very ancient manuscript. This manuscript is said to be a copy of the Bhagavad Gita written by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his own hands. And it says that when Srimad Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed the Ganges in a boat with an oar, he gave the oar of the boat to Gauridas Pandit and said, "With this oar, you can help the fallen souls cross over the ocean of material existence." That oar is also found at the temple of Gauridas Pandit. So it's a very famous place, Ambika Kalna, and we should try to go whenever we have some chance to go near Mayapur. And Gauridas Pandit, he had an elder brother, like we said. His name was Surya Das Sarkhela. He had five brothers, but one of them was Surya Das Sarkhela. He lived a little bit away from Navadvip in a place called Shaligram, a few miles away. And he had accepted an employment as a secretary in the Mohammedan government. At that time, Nawab Hussain Shah was the governor of Bengal, and he was and Surya Das Sarkhela was a secretary in that government. He had two daughters, Vasudev and Janava Devi. These two daughters later married Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Surya Das Sarkhela, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that Surya Das Sarkhela and his younger brothers Krishna Das Sarkhela both possessed very firm faith in Nityananda Prabhu. So Surya Das Sarkhela's son-in-law was Nityananda Prabhu, and in that way Gauridas Pandit was the brother of Surya Das Sarkhela, and so Gauridas Pandit was the cousin son-in-law, cousin father-in-law of Lord Nityananda, and a great devotee of Lord Nityananda he was too. Even Srila Prabhupada, he says in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Gauridas Pandit was always patronized by King Krishnadas, the son of Harihora. Gauridas Pandit lived in the village of Shaligram, which is situated a few miles away from Murgacha station, and later he came to reside in Ambika Kalna. It is stated in Gaura Ganodesh Deepika that he was formerly Subal Sakha, one of the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. Gauridas Pandit was the younger brother of Surya Das Sarkhela, and with the permission of his elder brother, he shifted his residence to the bank of the Ganges, living there in the town known as Ambika Kalna. The eldest son of Gauridas Pandit was known as Big Balaram, Boro Balaram, and the youngest was known as Yagunath, Raghunath. The sons of Raghunath were Mahesh Pandit and Govinda. Gauridas Pandit's daughter was known as Annapurna. So this was his family: Boro Balaram, which is Big Balaram, and Raghunath. So Ambika Kalna is not very far. We can reach there across the river Ganges from Shantipur, we can catch a train to Navadvip Dham at Howrah station in Calcutta and get off at Ambika Kalna station. In Ambika Kalna, there is a temple which is constructed by the Burdwan Zamindar, and he has a big tamarind tree. under that tamarind tree, Gauridas Pandit and Lord Chaitanya met personally. And that's a big landmark. And this copy of Bhagavad Gita, as it says, written by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still exists in that temple. There's a huge song when Lord Chaitanya Nityananda came to visit Gauridas Pandit. They wanted to bid goodbye. But Gauridas Pandit felt great separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was dancing with Lord Nityananda, chanting Hari Hari, and they arrived at the house of Gauridas Pandit to say, we are leaving now, we came here, we are leaving. And Gauridas Pandit, he started crying. No, no, you cannot go right now, please, please, I'm feeling so much separation. He fell at the lotus feet of the Lord and he said, you must never, never say anything about leaving my house. Please, please listen to my words. Please stay here in Ambika Kalna. This is my very, very humble request. If you leave me, I will die, and that death will be upon you. You must stay here, and I will always stay here, and I will see your divine form. Dui Bhai, you two brothers, please stay at my place. Everyone will be delivered just by seeing you. Again, I please, please beg you, please don't leave. So Lord Chaitanya, his heart became soft and he said, Gauridas, okay, allow me to fulfill your hope. But we have to go. At the same time, I cannot leave. So I'll do one thing. I'll give you an exact copy of Gaur and Nityananda deities that you may worship. It'll be just like us. By seeing these deities, you can think of us. Because my deity is as good as I am. Know it for certain. This is true. I am my deity. This is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness, deity worship. We must serve the deities not thinking that Krishna is within them, but they are Krishna. They are Radha and Krishna. They are Gaura and Nityananda. Not that someone is in between them, inside them. Because deities can actually listen to everything. And they can reciprocate, especially when a pure devotee has invited them to reside as the deity. One time, there was a devotee, he was sweeping the floor and in front of the deity. And he was thinking, well, you know, this deity, it's so, for him, it's so wonderful. He just has to stand and accept all the services everyone is doing. Just keep mum. And in this deity of Krishna is standing, playing the flute. That's all it has to be done. Every day, seven offerings, seven aartis he's getting. And all, he doesn't speak anything. He doesn't have to do anything. So he was saying, that's interesting. But he was continuing to sweep the deity room. Just then, he heard a voice. Do you want to switch? And he was like, what? Who said that? And he looked around. And again, do you want to switch? What do I want to switch? The voice said, I am Krishna. I am the deity of Krishna in this temple. Do you want to switch places? And The sweeper was like, "What? How did you know what I was thinking?" And the deity said, "I know everything that you are thinking. I want you to experience what I experience when I stand here, standing mum, not doing anything. You think I'm not doing anything, but actually there are a lot of things that are happening. Why don't you switch places? You come here and you stand where I'm standing." So the sweeper said, "All right, yeah, I can do that." And so they switched places. And the devotee, he was standing where Krishna is standing. He said, "You have to stand on this in this pose and make sure you do not speak anything. There should be no word that should come outside your mouth." And the sweeper said, "Yeah, that's cool. There's no problem in that." So he was standing there, and then different people came. They started offering prayers. He was able to hear the prayers of everyone. Some were saying, "Please help me in make me, you know, help me in some way." Another person was saying, there were so many contradictory things, "Make me win in this match." And then and the person from another team came, and the other team was praying, "Please make me win in this match." And this person was, the Krishna was confused. The person who was standing as the deity of Krishna was confused. "What is this?" And as he was standing, there was a very rich man who came, and this rich man, he paid obeisances, and as he was paying obeisances, his wallet fell to the ground. And this person, he paid obeisances, looked at Krishna, and took his wallet, took some Lakshmi from there, put it in the hundi, and then as he was putting his wallet back into his pocket, his wallet fell. And this person left. And this deity of Krishna, this person who was acting as the deity of Krishna, he said, hey, he was tempted to say, your wallet. But then he remembered, you have to be quiet. So he couldn't say anything. But he was feeling very agitated within him. Your wallet is left. Just then, an old man came. He was very, very poor. He came to Krishna. He came to the temple. He started paying obeisances. And when he offered obeisances and he asked Krishna, "I'm very, very poor. I'm very happy being your devotee. But my family, I have to somehow sustain them. Please help me." And as this poor man was leaving, he saw the wallet. He said, "Oh, wow, this wallet. Wonderful." He took this wallet and he left from there. He thanked Krishna. "Krishna, I just asked for some money and you gave me." After some time, a sailor came. And this sailor, he was praying, "My dear Krishna, today is the first day that I'm going to go as the captain of my ship. Please bless me that everything goes well. I'm very, very excited about this trip. Thank you for this thing." And he paid obeisances, and as he was leaving, this rich man, he came back. And the rich man came and he said, "I left my wallet in this temple. I know I left it in this temple. This person may have taken the wallet." He called the police and he immediately asked for arresting the sailor. And the sailor said, no, no, I don't have the wallet. You can check me. And the police was taking him. And seeing this, this person who was acting as the deity of Krishna, he could not control himself. He's like, I have to speak this. This is injustice going on. And he spoke. This is not the case. This is injustice. This sailor has not taken. It's the poor man who has taken the wallet. And so police went. They left this sailor alone and they took the poor man. They ran outside. They saw poor man was still there with the wallet. They caught him and said, you are the thief. And the poor man said, no, 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 I was just here. I just saw this wallet. That's why. And he was caught. And this deity of Krishna, this person, he felt, oh, I did something really great today. Something which even Krishna, if Krishna would be standing here, he would not have done this. Because he would have kept mum. But I'm better. And he was very proud of himself. Then in the night, excuse me, Krishna came and he said, how was the day? And the sweeper said, well, you know what? I can understand what you go through. There were so many conflicting prayers and everyone's prayers I could hear. It's all weird. What kind of weird prayers people give? Man, I never knew this. But, you know, I don't want to do this, but there is one thing that I did really good, which I'm sure you'll be proud of me, which you would not have done. And so Krishna said, okay, what is it? Well, and he told the whole story. This poor man, this rich man came, his wallet dropped, and the poor man came, he picked up the wallet, and the sailor came, and the old rich man came back and caught the sailor, but then I told him, it's not the sailor, it's the poor man who has taken it. And Krishna said, oh my God, what did you do? He said, what? I think I gave, this was the proper justice. Krishna said, you don't know the full story. You don't know what they have done before and what's going to come after. Why did you interfere in my plan? I told you not to speak anything. Why did you speak? He said, because this justice has to be served. Krishna said, what do you know about justice? You are only seeing a little piece of a person's life, a snippet of a person's life, and you're judging what is justice based on just that snippet without understanding. I know what he has done in his previous life and previous to previous life and what he's doing in this life and the moment before and moment after. Whatever was happening was exactly how it was supposed to happen, and you interfered and messed up everything. This devotee said, what? What did I mess up? Krishna said, this rich man, he's getting all his money from dubious means. And he has a lot of money anyways, but he gives me just $1. I'm happy with that, but this poor man, he is such a nice devotee. I wanted that money from this rich man to go to this poor devotee, who can then sustain his family and who can focus on his devotional service more. That way, even the rich man would have gotten the benefit of devotional service of the poor man that would have done. So I wanted this poor man to get this money. Yeah, but it's not fair that they were catching the sailor. Krishna said, no, that was fair. Because this sailor, it was his first ship as a captain, and that ship was going to be drowned today. I wanted to save this sailor. He's my devotee. Therefore, I arranged that he be caught for some time. He'll be taken to the police station. It'll be investigated. They'll find that he has nothing. They'll leave him. But by then his ship would have sailed and he would have been saved. But you came in and you messed up everything for everyone, thinking that you are doing justice. How can you judge like that? I told you not to speak anything. So here we understand that the deity knows everything that is happening. He knows what is best for us and executes without saying a word, but reciprocates in so many different ways. Krishna is always thinking about us. And the deity of Krishna is Krishna himself. Krishna can come in any form. Everything belongs to him. He's the source of everything. He's the source of stone. He's the source of marble. He's the source of wood. He's the source of Ashtadhatu. And when he manifests in those forms that he's the source of, he can do that. But some say, oh, Krishna is everywhere. So why we have to go to the temple to the deity? Well, if Krishna is everywhere, is he not as the deity also? He is also as the deity. But Krishna is everywhere, but we don't have the eyes to see Krishna everywhere, do we? Do we have the eyes to see Krishna everywhere? If we don't, we need training. We need to train our eyes and our vision to see Krishna everywhere. And to do that, we have to go to the temple. We have to serve the deities in our homes so that we can see. Then with that, if we can see Krishna as the deity, as the Krishna, then we can slowly, slowly see Krishna everywhere as our mind becomes more and more purified, as we become more and more conscious of Krishna's existence everywhere as the Paramatma, conscious of Krishna's existence as the deity and lovingly serve the deity. Then Krishna manifests himself everywhere that we see. So we should understand that deities are not our Krishna, is Krishna himself. And this is what Lord Chaitanya told. We are the deity, this deity of Gaur Nityananda that I am giving you. We are the same, and it's a life-size deity. And so Gauridas Pandit, he was still heaving and sighing, and he began sobbing, and he wept and wept. And the two brothers, Gaur Nityananda, tried to console him. Please understand the deity. You can worship us as the deity. There's no difference. But they could not pacify. And he was again and again saying, please stay, please stay. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, we will always stay here in your home. And they raised their hands and manifested two life-size deities of Gaur Nityananda. And they started leaving. Gaur Nityananda, actual Gaur Nityananda, started leaving. And so Gauridas Pandit said, hey, why are you leaving? He said, we told you, worship these life-size forms of Gaur Nityananda. They are us. They are Gaur Nityananda themselves. So Gauridas Pandit said, okay, then you stay and let these deities leave. Because you said there's no difference between you and the deities. Then let the deities leave, you stay here. So Gaur Nityananda said, okay. And they stood, they raised their hands, they became the deities, and the deities became live, and they started going away. And Gauridas Pandit became confused. What? And he ran to the deities who became live and started going away, and he said, please, please stay, please stay, where are you going? He said, well, we are going because you asked us to leave. You can worship those deities now. They are Gaur Nityananda themselves. And Gauridas Pandit said, no, you stay, let those deities go. So they said, okay, they stayed there. The deities which became live again became deities, and the live Lord Nitya, Gaur Nityananda, who were stationary, again became motion, and they started leaving. And Gauridas Pandit, he went back and forth, and finally he realized there is no difference between Gaur Nityananda and his deities, Gaur Nityananda. And with tears of divine love filling his eyes, he said, "Now I understand that you are non-different." And then Gaur and Nityananda, they left for Jagannath Puri. But to the great satisfaction of Gauridas Pandit, Gaur and Nityananda and their replica, they stayed at his house and ate the rice he offered them. One day, just to increase the divine love in the heart of Gauridas Pandit, the deities of Gaur Nityananda, they decided to revive in Gauridas Pandit the Vrindavan conception. And these deities of Gaur Nityananda could speak to Gauridas Pandit. They said, "Oh Gauridas, do you remember you were formerly Subal Sakha? Together, us as Krishna Balaram and you as Subal Sakha, we used to have many, many pastimes on the bank of the Yamuna in Vrindavan. And while saying this, Gauridas remembered Krishna and Balaram. They appeared in the dress of cowherd boys with a stick for driving cows in their hands. Krishna held a flute. Their necks were decorated with garlands. Their lotus feet were ornamented with anklets. And they brought Gauridas into the mood of Vrindavan conception. And in this mood, they revealed different pastimes to Gauridas Pandit. And then after some time, the Lord wished that Gauridas returned to his external consciousness and Krishna and Balaram returned to the altar in their forms as Gaur and Nityananda. Such were the deities of Gaur and Nityananda. He was always engaged in serving them. He was so absorbed in their service that he was completely unaware of the pleasures and pains of his own body. Gradually, he approached old age and he became very feeble, very infirm, and it was very difficult for him to perform the service, but he did not cease working hard to cook for the deities. One day, when the deities saw his hard labor at cooking Gaur and Nityananda externally, they appeared very angry. And they said, "We will not eat." And Gauridas Pandit, he said, "My dear Lord, why? What did I do?" And Gauridas Pandit came and he embraced Gaur Nityananda deities. And he said, "If you don't want to eat, tell me what you would like me to cook. I'm ready to cook whatever will make you happy." And both the lords, they started smiling. But they said in great seriousness, "My dear Gauridas, there is nothing wrong with your cooking. But at your advanced age, to cook so many preparations, there is no need. We cannot tolerate seeing you go to such great effort on our behalf. We would be really happier if you would exert less effort and just give us something very simple. Don't make these exotic preparations that you make." Gauridas Pandit said, "Well, I've already cooked now. Please eat whatever I've cooked now. In future, I'll not take such great strides. I'll keep everything simple. I'll cook only a little shak and put it on the fresh banana leaf, and that's all I'll give you." And Gauridas Pandit, as he said, Gaur and Nityananda smiled, and they started eating everything on their plates. So they were having this kind of reciprocation. One time, Gauridas Pandit wanted to decorate Gaur and Nityananda very lavishly with beautiful ornaments. And Gaur Nityananda in fact, understanding his mind, they came and they decorated themselves with ornaments. The deities decorated themselves with the ornaments and got back up on the throne of the altar. And when Gauridas Pandit entered the temple, he was speechless. So where did they get these ornaments? How did this come? Because Gaur Nityananda did not want him to go through such troubles. Gauridas Pandit's very dear disciple, his name was Sri Hriday Chaitanya. One time during the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Purnima, Gauridas Pandit went to the house of one of his other disciples and he entrusted the service of Gaur and Nityananda in the care of Hriday Chaitanya. His name was Chaitanya Das, actually. Later he came to be Hriday Chaitanya, and we'll hear the story of how he came to be known as Hriday Chaitanya. His name was Chaitanya Das, this disciple who was caring for Gaur Nityananda on behalf of Gauridas Pandit. This Chaitanya Das, in great ecstasy, he rendered service to those deities. And the festival of Gaur Purnima was coming nearer. And there were only 3 days remaining for this Gaur Purnima festival, and Gauridas Pandit had still not returned from his disciple's place. And this Chaitanya Das became very worried. There's only 3 days. There's not much time to prepare or to invite people or to make feast. And Guru Maharaj is not here. If he comes late, what will happen? So he acted on his own and he arranged to send a written message to different devotees and disciples, invited them to the festival, started working on all the preparations and everything. And after he did that, the next day Gauridas Pandit arrived at the ashram. And Chaitanya Das, he very excitedly told his Guru Maharaj what he had done for Gaur Purnima festival on behalf of his Guru, how he had sent out invitations, thinking that Gauridas Pandit would not return on time. So Gauridas Pandit, internally he was very happy, but externally he showed himself to be very angry. Why did Chaitanya Das act independently? Are you the Guru or am I the Guru? You should not do anything without Guru's permission. In my presence, you are acting independently, sending invitations here and there as you please, and calling my disciples at your will. This cannot go on. Get out of here. You cannot stay here. And Chaitanya Das was stunned. Guru Maharaj, that was not my mood. That was not my purpose. And Hriday Chaitanya fell at the feet of his Guru, offered his pranams. He went and his Guru had asked him to leave. So he went and he started staying under a tree on the banks of the Ganges. And slowly the festival of Gaur Purnima came. And as the festival approached, a big rich merchant came by on a boat and said, I heard that I got some invitation to a festival of Gaur Purnima here, and I wanted to give a large donation so the festival can go really nice. So Hriday Chaitanya said, please give this to my Guru Maharaj, Gauridas Pandit. He will take it. So Gauridas, when this merchant went to Gauridas Pandit, Gauridas Pandit said, who invited you? He said, well, it was Chaitanya Das. He said, then go and give this donation to Chaitanya Das. We don't need anything here. So then this merchant came to Chaitanya Das and said, well, you know, your Guru Maharaj said to give it to you. And Chaitanya Das said, all right, whatever Guru gives, I will accept it. And he took it and he started preparing for a very grand festival. And it was a huge festival on the day of Gaur Purnima. It was such a beautiful thing right on the bank of Ganges that all the boats that were passing by, they started attending this festival. And it became a roaring kirtan during the festival. Chaitanya Das was just in ecstasy, encouraging everyone to chant and dance. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now on Gaur Purnima, when in Ambika Kalna, Gauridas Pandit, he opened his altar for the aarti of Gaur Purnima. The pujari opened the altar and saw that the altar is empty. And the pujari ran to Gauridas Pandit, Gauridas, Gauridas, the altar is empty. Gaur Nityananda have been stolen. And Gauridas Pandit went, looked around. He saw the altar is empty. Where could they have gone? Just then he heard the roar of the tumultuous kirtan which was going on the bank of the Ganges under that tree. It was so loud that he could also hear it. And he understood, I know where these boys, Gaur Nityananda, have left. He took a stick and ran towards the bank of Ganges. He understood that Gaur and Nityananda would have been attracted by the chanting of the holy name, by the kirtan, and they have gone there to attend that festival. And he went there. How dare they go to attend Chaitanya Das festival? And as he reached the festival scene, he saw a big, huge crowd, everyone chanting and dancing in circles, and right in the middle, there was Gaur Nityananda, dancing in ecstasy, with tears in their eyes. And as they were jumping, Gauridas Pandit came running towards them, charging towards Gaur Nityananda. How dare you leave the altar? And seeing Gauridas Pandit, Gaur Nityananda, they became afraid out of love. And they were looking here and there, where should we hide? Where should we hide? Gauridas Pandit is coming. And they ran and entered the heart of Chaitanya Das and hid there. Hid in the heart of Chaitanya Das. Since then, Gauridas Pandit could not hold himself back. He began crying tears of ecstasy. He forgot his external show of anger at his two brothers, Gaur Nityananda, and holding his disciple Chaitanya Das in his arms, he embraced him, said, you are truly fortunate, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, have entered your heart. And today, your name will be Hriday Chaitanya, one who has Sri Chaitanya within his heart. With great humility and overwhelmed with Krishna prema, Sri Hriday Chaitanya fell at the feet of his Guru Maharaj, Sri Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit took Hriday Chaitanya back to his house where they danced and chanted in the courtyard in the ecstasy of Sankirtan. And the whole area was filled with loud chanting of Hari Hari and the Hare Krishna mantra. And then the great festival of Gaur Purnima came to a close. And after this, Sri Gauridas Pandit blessed Hriday Chaitanya with the adhikar, or the qualifications, for the divine service of Gaur and Nityananda. After some time, Gauridas Pandit passed away from this earth and entered into the eternal unmanifest pastimes of Sri Gauranga and Nityananda. And his most important disciple was, of course, Hriday Chaitanya. And the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya was the great Sri Shyamananda Prabhu, who took shiksha from Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. And the wonderful deities of Radha Shyam Sundar are there of Sri Shyamananda Prabhu. So, Shri Gauridas Pandit Ki Jai. With this, we end our discussion today. If anyone has any questions, we can take now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji.
Yes.
So after the deity is hidden, hidden the heart of Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu, the deities came back to the temple, or how did that happen?
Yeah, they hid, and then therefore they were called as he was called as Hriday Chaitanya. But yes, they manifested themselves again on the altar when he came back.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhu. Chaitanya Das is actually, what he's doing is he's supposed to do it in the absence of his Guru Maharaj, and then that his Guru Maharaj also he feels very happy. Very happy internally, but externally he's sending him out, right? So what we can understand from the pastime?
That when the guru chastises, we should not retaliate, we should not complain, we should not justify. Whether he is chastising for something good or something bad, it's always something good, or for something which we have not done, or whether it's our mistake or not, we should just accept it humbly, just like Chaitanya Das accepted. He did not retaliate that I'm doing something for you only. If you would have come, then you would be in tension and anxiety. I tried to relieve your anxiety and you're trying to tell me this. What kind of a guru are you? He didn't justify himself. He just accepted very humbly. And that's why Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. Gaur Nityananda were pleased seeing his humility. Trinadapi suni chena, more humble than a blade of grass. Tarorapi sahishnuna, be more tolerant than a tree. Amanina manadena, give all credit to others and expect none in return. So because he displayed this thing, he did not complain, he did not retaliate. It says, but he just accepted that this, I actually deserved worse than this. But my Guru Maharaj only asked me to leave. He should have killed me, or he should have whatever. He should have, something worse actually I should have deserved. What he's saying is correct, what I'm saying is not. And if this is what Guru is saying, this is what I need to do. He had that faith in his Guru Maharaj. And because he did not retaliate, but he just he tolerated, that's why Gaur Nityananda were very pleased and entered his heart. So if some senior devotee or a guru chastises us, we should try to explain our position, but not in a mood that we are right and they are wrong. And even after explaining our position once, if they still feel that we have done wrong, we should just humbly accept it. With this, Krishna will be pleased.
Thank you, Prabhu.
And we should try to be grateful for that, thankful for that, because this is happening because Krishna wants to teach us some lesson. Whether it was for a just cause or it was unjust, whatever be, there is something that Krishna wants to tell us. And if we try to complain and retaliate, then we will not be able to receive the mercy that this has come to do. So we should just accept it and allow this mercy to come in. If we complain, it's like we are closing our doors and windows for this mercy. Because whatever Guru is doing is a mercy. And then Guru is also pleased, Krishna is also pleased with this kind of an attitude. And like that. All right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, Prabhu.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the wonderful explanation, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So the follow-up question on that was, so first of all, it was a very wonderful story. All the classes were wonderful, especially that story of a man exchanging with the deities was amazing. So the lesson from that is that, you know, we should not judge Krishna's actions. So things are happening for a reason. But from a practical perspective, for an ordinary devotee or anyone, so many things are happening in our, you know, day-to-day life. So shouldn't we judge our activities, or on what basis we should leave it as it is, or what? When should we take action? You know, sometimes we see injustice, and sometimes we see, we feel there is so much of contradictions. And should we act upon it or should we not act upon it? It becomes very difficult to judge. So what is your suggestion on that? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Well, Shri Rupa Goswami, he says in the Nectar of Instruction, Anukulasya Sankalpaha Pratikulasya Varjanam. Actually, this is one of the verses in Sharanagati, not Rupa Goswami, but it says, Anukulasya Sankalpaha Pratikulasya Varjanam. This is the first basic symptoms of surrender. To do things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness and to avoid things which are not favorable to Krishna consciousness. So this should be our criteria. When we are trying to do something, we should see, is this favorable to my or others' Krishna consciousness? If the answer is yes, we should do it. If it is not favorable neither to me nor to others in their Krishna consciousness, then why unnecessarily bother? Just leave it the way it is. So, I'm not saying that we should be selfish, but if we see some injustice being done, we should do whatever is in our means, but especially see how we can do things in a Krishna conscious manner, meaning in a way that will help that person go towards spiritual life. Then we are working according to Krishna's plan. Because materially there are so many different things happening on a karmic level. Someone is, just like a doctor. If suppose someone has an accident and this person is taken to the emergency and he needs to be operated upon immediately, the doctor does not ask, oh, it was this person's karma only. He had to have an accident. So why should I do anything to make him better? This was his karma. This was according to what he was destined to do. So I don't need to do anything. No, the doctor is supposed to save as much as possible. And even after doctor trying, everyone trying, it does not happen. That is his destiny. But the doctor does not blame the patient. Why were you driving like this? you should not have done this, you should not have done that. No, 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 the situation is he needs surgery. I need to stop thinking about why this happened, how this happened, whose fault it is. Let me try to save this person. That is the attitude of a devotee also. Just like a doctor attitude, devotee also has the same attitude. Yes, this person may be suffering because of some karma he might have done in this life, previous life, or whatever Krishna may have planned. But my goal is to save him, save his soul, is to somehow or other do something so he can come closer to Krishna. So if that should be our perspective. Anukulasya varjan, anukulasya sankalpaha, pratikulasya varjanam. So this is the general principle, but if you have any specific situations, then we apply this principle in different ways. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, the detail is non-different. Sometimes what happened in home.
Prabhu, I can, Madhuri, I cannot hear anything. There is a lot of background noise going on.
Somebody is making noise. One second.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes yes. We don't realize the duty is there and then we express our anger with kids or so many things we're not supposed to do. Means in that case, what we should do, Prabhu, means every time we don't realize our duties is there and we just expose our anarthas or like that, Prabhu.
In what case, like if you do something that you are not supposed to do, then what we should do?
Yes, Prabhu.
If we realize our mistake, that this is not something that we should have done, then we should, pray to Krishna, ask for his forgiveness, and see that we don't commit this again. Because we cannot take back whatever we have, whatever has already happened. Right? We cannot take back whatever has already happened. But we can learn from it and go from there. So if we live our life thinking that this is a learning experience, everything is a learning, then we will not feel bad. Many times we feel bad because we think we are perfect and we feel bad that how come I made this mistake? I should not have made this mistake because I am perfect. So how can I make a mistake? And I made the mistake. We sometimes feel bad not for the mistake but the fact that we did it. But if we have that attitude that, I'm here to learn. I'm not perfect. But with every situation, I'm here to learn. And my goal is to learn. My goal is not to be perfect, but my goal is to just keep learning, learning, learning. Then, if we make a mistake, I have something to learn. Good. And we move on. We learn, we move on, and we, with that learning, we apply it later. If something goes good, then we say, okay, this is good. I learned how to do it the right way. And we move on. But sometimes we just keep regretting, I should not have done that. And we waste valuable time. Whatever we have done, we have done. It's never not going to come back. Just learn from it and go forward. So let's have a learning attitude. Does that make sense?
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Thank you so much. It was very beautiful class, Prabhu.
Thank you. All right, if there are no more questions, we can end here.
Yes, Prabhu. We can pay our obeisances to His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhu and all the devotees who join Vansa Kalpataruvesa.
Kripa Sindhu Vyayucha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha.